With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Sports Virgins, the podcast from Pomodo, where a pair of total sport novices, that's me, Amy Vose.
And me, Matt Richardson.
Get to learn all about the world of sport.
In this episode, we discuss golf.
What's the race to Dubai?
Who's Lee Westwood?
Matt's shame.
Every time I speak to him, he's like, listened again, embarrassment. That's all he has to say. And the offside rule.
A defender has to be a certain distance behind or close by. Oh, it's a stupid rule, something like that.
Welcome to Sports Virgins.
Well, welcome back, Sports Virgins. I don't know about you, Matt, but I've once again failed on the nutmeg challenge. Did you do any curling since last episode?
I really tried. So I tried to do some curling in the kitchen, but it turns out the cat does not like being pushed around on the floor. Yeah, I thought, you know, push him and then brush behind the cat, but it just, he was having none of it.
Yeah, I couldn't have had a more sport-free week if I tried, really. I couldn't be more in the dark. You know, last time I was like, oh, I was aware there was a game going on or something, but Christmas has like overtaken my life a bit. So yeah, I think I'm really open to learning this week. Dylan, let's hope some stuff's been going on, as I assume, as always, it has.
Yeah, there's a few news stories to go through today. It was the Manchester Derby, so City United, which usually is a big game because, you know, they've both been up there or thereabouts. But nah, it was a bit of a drab nil-nil draw, really, so nothing interesting happened there. Liverpool and Spurs both drew, but unfortunately Chelsea lost, so they missed out the chance to go to the top. Are you aware of who's up the top of the Premier League these days?
Leicester. No.
They're up there.
I'm going to say it's like one of five, isn't it? It's going to be like Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, or the Manchesters and Liverpool.
Yeah. Oh, I have noticed that people have been slagging off Arsenal quite a lot recently. I don't know. I think that's because I was watching Good Morning Britain and Piers Morgan was going on about it. That's the only reason I know that.
Yeah, so Arsenal lost again on the weekend. So they can be described as being in the shit.
Is that the official term?
Yeah, I think that
okay,
is
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they're really struggling. So yeah, Liverpool and Spurs are both top. So people are very hopeful that this eventually is going to be Tottenham's year.
And people are still in the stadiums. They've still got like a few like littered about. How's that going?
They had.
Now it's all going to change again.
It's all going to change again, yeah. In London, at least. So I'm sure there might be a couple of teams that will still be able to have a crowd.
This is how different my life is to my family's. So my dad and my brother have been going to the football again. And this week, my brother is going to the football and Sky News are going to the football with my brother to see his routine as an autistic man going back to the football because it's such a big part of his life. And like, football features so little in my life, and yet it's big enough in his life that the news are going.
That's huge. Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's really big on the whole like autism friendly football thing. Like he's trying to make it his vibe because he works for the charity. So he just emailed Sky News going, do you want to come to the football with me and see my routine and stuff? And they were like, yeah, we'll do that. It's not the coronavirus. We're quite happy to come to the football with you.
Wow.
Good.
So I'm the opposite of him. I'm such a shame to him that I know nothing on this podcast. He's really embarrassed by me.
Is he fuming that you're on this podcast, like just showing him up?
Every time I speak to him, he's like, listened again, embarrassment. That's all he has to say. I think he thinks there would have been some sort of progress And yet it feels like I've actually gone the other way.
So, Matt, see, the thing is, Matt, I'm just glad that somebody else knows how I feel every single week doing this.
Yeah, I spoke to a friend of mine this weekend who is very supportive, listened to everything I does, but he loves this the most out of everything he's ever seen, my friend Mo, because he cannot believe Amy and I don't really know this little. Like, yeah. He thinks we're putting it on.
I've had a few people say that as well.
I was like, this is it. He's like, there's no prep to get this bad.
Well, it's like I said, I actually thought I had a basic knowledge, but this podcast has made me realise just how little I know. And like, my boyfriend is sport obsessed, as you know. And the other day when I was away for a couple of days, and this sounds a bit creepy, but we've got this camera in our kitchen. It was for the dog initially, but I was away and I was like, oh, I'll just see what he's up to in the kitchen. And it has sound as well. And when I watched, he was in the kitchen making a sandwich, listening to this podcast. So, and he's a big sports fan. So I was like, interesting. And he said he enjoys it. So that's good news.
I think sports fans listen to this podcast in the same way you'd have gone to see a bearded lady years ago, in that, like, they can't quite believe.
What are you saying, Matt? I've not got any on my chin. I've got a beard. It's just the shadow of the Zoom chat.
I think that's it. People are like, I cannot believe there are people like this out there.
But then I've had people say to me, they listen to this podcast, they know nothing about sports, and they found it interesting, they learned something. So, you know, we cover all bases.
We're for everybody.
Indeed. Yeah. So I guess the biggest news story of the weekend was that Anthony Joshua was back in the ring. Are you aware of the fact that he fought?
I am.
Vaguely,
yes.
But I don't actually know the outcome. I didn't watch telly all weekend, actually.
I'm in a WhatsApp group that had a real big thing about this. And he won, didn't he, this weekend? He knocked out the other gentleman whose name has escaped me.
Kubrat Pulev.
Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue. And everyone's, basically the talk now is, look, he had a good fight, but is he ready for Tyson Fury?
Yeah, so that's the big
question mark, isn't it?
Ooh. AJ Fury, this is going to be an ongoing saga that's going to dominate sports news for hopefully not longer than a year. You know, hopefully this is going to happen in 2021.
Why would it take so long? Why don't they just, you know, set a date? Give us something to look forward to. Is it like...
It's like a wedding, yeah?
Do they build it up so that the hype increases, therefore they get paid more or something? What's the wait?
I don't think they... It's for the hype. It's just, it is money. It's just negotiations between TV companies, venues, and who earns what. Yeah, it's all.
Is this what they call the purse?
The purse, yeah.
Is that right?
Why do you call it the purse?
I don't know, but I've heard that in boxing before. That's like all about the fees, isn't it? And I like to think of it as a lovely little lady's purse, you know, with those little, the ones with the little clicky thing on top. I'm like, they're like, they just open up the purse.
And it's taken them so long because they can't get them open with the gloves on.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what it is. There we go. Let's move that one out.
But this is going to be like the biggest British sporting event for, well, a long, long time.
Will they do it at Wembley Stadium again? Because he fought there, didn't he, Anthony Joshua?
The other chat is the Middle East, because they've got the most money, so...
Everyone seems to have gone to Dubai as well, so...
It's Riyadh is where everyone wants to go. They want to go to Saudi Arabia, don't they? Like, that's where they're giving you shed loads of cash to do anything. We are happy to do the Riyadh Podcast Festival, if anyone's listening. We are we are not morally objected to anything in Saudi Arabia if you're going to give us some money.
It's flights and hotel, we'll be there.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure that AJ Fury will feature quite heavily in this podcast throughout the years. Like the Wrexham story, it's going to be an ongoing thread. So another news story from the weekend is that Lee Westwood won the Race to Dubai for the third time.
What's the Race to Dubai?
Who's Lee Westwood?
Good start. So, okay. So any guesses what sport this is?
I feel like I've heard of him, but I can't.
Flying? You've got to get to Dubai? I don't.
Dubai.
Is it?
It's golf. It's golf. So,
I
was nowhere near.
They'll never charge those golf carts enough to get there. The Race to Dubai. Why is it called the Race to Dubai? That makes it sound so more exciting than golf is.
Yeah.
So the European Tour, which, you know, goes on with a tournament every weekend-ish throughout the whole season. And the last tournament of the year is in Dubai. And I guess it's called the Race to Dubai because whoever is top of the league or top of the leaderboard when it gets to that tournament is the winner of the whole season. Westwood didn't actually win this weekend in Dubai, But I think the permutations were he needed to finish second and somebody else needed to finish no higher than fourth, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
he ended up winning the whole championship on that last weekend. So it's quite an exciting end to the season in golf.
I just feel that golf in Dubai sounds like something that is using a lot of water that they don't have.
Yes.
It feels like the phrase golf in Dubai feels wasteful, doesn't it?
I'd need a lot of deodorant as well. It's so hot, isn't it? It must be...
That's why they played now. Like, it's a bit more reasonable, I suppose, isn't it?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, it doesn't feel like a place... I mean, you're going to be caught in the sand trap for ages. There we go. It's my only golf joke.
It's called a bunker, by the way.
It's not called a sand trap.
No, a bunker.
Sand pit.
there we go.
So the other interesting with the Lee Westwood, there's a couple of things here. So he's 47, so he's a lot older than the rest of them, and it's 20 years since he won his first race of Dubai. So he's making a bit of a comeback. He sort of dropped down the rankings. He's actually 47th in the world as well, and he's 47 years old. So that's quite a nice little quirk.
Is it one of the few sports where you can play well into your 40s and 50s?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, a lot of those guys don't often win at that age, but it's great that. He's now having a bit of a swan song. The other interesting thing with Lee Westwood is that a couple of years ago, he appointed his, girlfriend at the time, now fiance, as his caddy.
Mm.
So are you familiar with what a caddy is in golf?
Yes.
Yeah, they drive the little carts and help with the clubs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a great fact about this. For years, and he might still be, Tiger Woods had a caddy from New Zealand, and the caddy gets a slice of the winnings. It's like 10 or 15%, isn't it? And when Tiger Woods was at his peak, his caddy was the highest paid sportsman in New Zealand.
Whoa.
That is correct.
My only fact about caddies.
I didn't know they got a share. So is it quite an integral part of the get? Like what is it?
Give recommendations and things on club, and you do the research. They do a lot of research on the courses and things. So they're always like whispering in the player's ear of like, this is what you should do here. This isn't your weak point. It's like an objective eye that follows you around.
So does he have his fiance because she's really knowledgeable about golf, or just he misses her when he's not with her?
She's not that knowledgeable. I guess she is now. But initially, you know, it wasn't as if she was a professional golf caddy or anything. I think she's a personal trainer initially. But okay. I guess he got to a point in his career that he'd stagnated a little bit. He was in a bit of a rut and he lost his form. He'd experimented with a few different caddies. Then he obviously just thought, well, sod it. I'm just going to get my girlfriend along. And he won that first tournament that she was there because I guess maybe it relaxed him or, I don't know, just put him in a different place mentally.
Aww.
And so he's kept her as his caddy for the last couple of years.
That could be a rom-com. Seriously,
that could
really
be a rom-com.
Couldn't it? Yeah. That is a really cute story. Oh, I love that. Okay,
Matthew
now I'm invested.
Is Lee Westwood.
If he does a good shot, do they have a little kiss afterwards?
Yeah, instead of a high five.
I suppose, like, he's kind of had a really good professional career. He's stagnated a bit. He's still making money on it, but, like, he's kind of past it. You just be like, you know what? I'm not giving away 10% anymore. Fuck it. I'm just getting her in.
Yeah,
and we're going to keep it in the family.
Maybe it's for tax reasons as well. He's employed her.
You know, like when an MP employs their spouse and it's all a bit dodgy. It's basically that, isn't it?
We've just ruined the rom-com, but either way.
Matt, you mentioned that Tiger Woods' caddy was well-known. Because, you know, the caddies aren't particularly well-known. They kind of fly under the radar. Like you said, Amy, they are an integral part of a golfer's career, but they're not particularly well-known. So there was another really well-known caddy in the 90s for Nick Faldo. Do you know anything about this?
No.
So he had a female caddy, but, you know, not his girlfriend or anything. She was a professional caddy, but her name was Fanny. And, you know, back in the 90s, this was mega lols, you know, one of the only female people in world golf. And she was called Fanny.
It's a shame they didn't get married. She could have been Fanny Faldo.
Well, that would have been good.
That's a great name. So he would have been like Fanny. What if people didn't know her name at first and he was just going, Fanny, pass me a
driver, Fanny.
9-inch or whatever they are. I don't know.
9-inch.
Is that what they're called?
No.
So that's the thing.
There was 9 inches.
Yeah, they're a tad longer.
Sounded like a really weird porno. Sorry. I don't know what that was.
But there has been some some classic commentary cock-ups to do with her. Ken Brown, who's the BBC commentator, you know, very well respected, very professional. So caddies, like you said, that they help out the golfer, and a lot of the times they help them to line up the putt. So, you know, they either stand behind the hole and they tell them which kind of line they should do with contours and all that kind of stuff. So Fanny was helping Nick Faldo line up the putt, and Ken Brown said, some weeks Nick likes to use Fanny. Other weeks he prefers to do it by himself.
Oh no.
Oh God.
Yes.
The thing is, I can imagine that sounds a little bit deliberate, but there must be times when actually they probably referenced her and then realized, oh my God, that's really inappropriate.
Yeah, but there have been loads of those, so that was good value. And the other similar kind of quote that it reminded me of when on the weekend I was watching a program about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It was like a recap of the history of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And they were talking about Judith Keppel, who was the first ever winner of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, as in like the first millionaire. And Chris Tarrant, when he was on This Morning discussing her winning, you know, the first £1 million, he said on This Morning, she was practicing fastest finger first by herself in bed last night.
Oh,
come
Chris.
On, Chris. You know what you're doing there, Chris, don't you?
Yeah, leave that nonsense to Richard Madeley.
Yeah, exactly. There was another good one of those. I looked up some of these quotes from sport. And, you know, in the boat race, the Oxford-Cambridge boat race, you know, they have the little guy who sits at the end of the boat barking orders at them. Do you know who that person is? Yeah, exactly. He's called Cox. So I guess you can see where this is going. But the Oxford-Cambridge race in the 70s, Harry Carpenter made a quote live on TV. He said, "Ah, isn't that nice? The wife of the Cambridge president is kissing the cocks of the Oxford crew."
Oh, it's too good.
See, look, if you'd have told me this, I would have been into sport.
But yeah, so Lee Westwood won the race of Dubai, and he's back up there. You know, he's going to qualify for the Ryder Cup yet again, if it happens next year.
Where's that again?
So the Ryder Cup's in the US next year. So it's in Whistling Straits in Wisconsin.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
That was tough to say.
Whistling Straits sounds like a euphemism for Fanny, if I'm honest.
So the next sports story we're going to move on to is onto the world of bobsleigh.
Oh, yes, this is more my speed. Winter sports are the best sports because they're all mental.
Yes, they really are. I mean, bobsleighs, I don't know if I'd... I love skiing and stuff like that, but I don't know if I'd get... Would you get in a bobsleigh? It does look pretty terrifying.
Yes, I absolutely would.
Matt, have you seen Cool Runnings? It can go very wrong.
Yeah, I have seen Cool Runnings, and the moral of that film is just try your hardest and it'll be fine.
That's true. You can always get up and just carry it to the end. That would be us.
Well, this is a true real life Cool Runnings story, although that was, you know, based on real life events. But so there's a guy called James Dasilu, I think that's how he pronounced his name. So he was a sprinter for Great Britain in the Olympics, like, you know, normal sprinting. He's actually the second fastest sprinter in UK history behind...
Wow.
What's his name? Lunchbox guy. Linford Christie.
Oh, poor Linford Christie. You know, he's...
Is it Linford Christie? I was going to say that was going to be my guess, but then I didn't think I was just lumping all sports that are track and field together.
No, it
I'm sorry I referred to him as Lunchbox. That's all I could think of. Nickname. Yeah.
But didn't Linford Christie... Didn't he get done for doping?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Legend.
Hey. Is that the right answer anyway?
As did all of them. Yeah, so Linford Christie is the fastest sprinter in UK history. And James Dasilu has run the second fastest time, like 9.94 seconds or something for the 100 metres. But anyway, he's now decided to have a crack at the bobsleigh. So he competed in the World Cup on the weekend for Great Britain in Austria in the bobsleigh.
How did he do?
He didn't win. I was trying to find out, and I couldn't really find anything about this. That's how low key the event was, but he didn't win because I saw a list of the winners and he wasn't on there.
But hang on, you say that like he was bobsleigh, several people in a team, right?
Yeah, I think this one was two people.
There's different ones, isn't there? There's the two, I think there's two, three, four, and then you have the skeleton bob and the single bob. So skeleton bob is where you go down head first on basically a fucking tea tray.
Yeah.
And there is a version as well where they go down, they do a single bob where you go down feet first as well. Like that it's, and weirdly, we're really good at the skeleton bob
as
a country.
Are we?
Yeah, like we've got like a few gold medals in it for whatever reason. Like we've got a really good little team.
Yeah, Amy Williams was the well-known one from a few years ago, wasn't she? She did really well
on
that.
It's like going down on a tea tray at 80 miles an hour. It's the coolest and most terrifying thing I've ever seen.
Where do you go and do? There must be places in the UK that I have zero awareness of where you can go and just get on those tea trays, just give it a blast. There must be, if we're that good at it, there must be some great places.
I guess there must be a bobsleigh track somewhere in the country, even an artificial one. But I think they all go and train in Europe all winter and then come back in the summer.
Impressive.
Or they just like you said, grab a tray and just find a hill and just go for it.
It's all the people. Do you remember when you were at school and there'd be a snow day and the kids who are crazy enough to go down the hill on a black bin bag?
Yeah.
It's those kids that end up being in the skeleton bob because they have no fear.
Yeah, it's impressive. I love it.
Do you know, talking about that, another thing I watched on the weekend, and I actually showed the kids this because I knew they wouldn't believe me if I told them. Are you familiar with the cheese rolling?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a documentary on it on Netflix. Well worth a watch.
I don't know why. We might have just watched the trailer or watched some clip on it, but that is absolutely nuts. And in Leicestershire, I don't know if we've spoken about this before. Sorry to bring it up again. There's a thing called bottle kicking, which is another one of those bank holiday traditions. Yeah, and it's basically a big hill between, it's Medbourne and Hallerton, I think, these two villages. And they throw this, it's like a keg, like a beer keg, and they throw it up and then everyone just goes for it. And we'd go along for the social and it'd just be sort of happening and they have to get it over one side of the hill. But, there'd be broken limbs. And occasionally you'd go, I'm going to have a quick go. And you'd just sort of push someone and then go, that's me done. But but it gets quite rough. But the cheese rolling is next level.
Yeah,
it is. And it's a girl who's won it every year for like 5 years, isn't it?
Yeah, so, well, she's won it for the last 3 years. And this documentary is her going for the fourth. But I won't give it away, the old spoiler alert. But yeah, it's crazy. It's well worth a watch. And the kids were like, what are they doing?
Why would you do that? They just throw themselves down the hill. And also, what I find quite funny is there's no, like, you don't win anything, do you? I mean, you get the cheese.
No, you
don't.
Yeah, it's you not get like the cheese.
It's not like you get £100,000 for breaking all your limbs. It's bizarre.
You just get a wheel of cheese.
Yeah.
That's it. And the other interesting thing I found about this was the local rugby team are all lined up at the bottom of the hill to basically stop people.
Wow.
Because they're going too fast down the hill.
Yeah. So they basically like rugby tackle them to like slow them down.
What an unpleasant experience that sounds.
Worst bank holiday ever. Pub and have a Pimm's.
I love these kind of like quirky British sports because I've been working with an American a lot recently and I keep telling her things like the cheese rolling. And every time I tell her something new, she goes, well, this is the one you've made up. And I'm like, I swear to God it isn't. Where I grew up, there's a little village nearby that do the World Poo Stick Championships.
What?
And it's like a big thing, like hundreds of people compete. So you know poo sticks where you drop a stick into the water of a river or a stream over on a bridge and you see whose stick comes out first the other side?
Yep.
They do a World Championships of it every year and it's in this village. And it's like basically a village fete with the quaintest sport in the world.
So is that a competitive thing? What do you win for that, Matt? Is it just like a trophy?
Nothing. Yeah, right. There's no like major winner, but like people travel to come and do it.
Maybe this is a sport we could get
this
good is, at.
Feels like it's our speed.
Doesn't it? It feels like this is very us.
Maybe rather than, you know, a lot of people who like, I've got friends who do like football podcasts and stuff and they all want to broadcast from the, you know, the World Cup of football. Maybe we should really lean into the niche sport events and just go and do our podcast live from them.
Live from the Poo Sticks Championships 2021. Yeah. I am in.
Like we're at the Lincolnshire Bacon Roll. Or whatever it is, you know, I'm sure there's loads of them.
Are you like rugby? Oh, you've got two girls as well, Dylan. Do you like rugby tackle them in the garden? Like, yes, beat you.
Nah, they are the least sort of physical of children I've ever seen. They're not interested in anything remotely physical like that.
Well, you know what? Just thrash them at chess.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
there you go. Yeah, there's always a sport.
Good. I think we've gone off on a million tangents there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I think, am I right in saying Jargon's had another controversial week, Dylan? I feel like he's just been in the news. I don't know why. I've just heard his name, or am I making that up? Is he okay?
He's just always moaning these days about largely VAR or whatever. But yeah, he's always having a moan when they're not winning.
Well, he's our favourite sporting Karen. So I'll hand over to Jargon Klopp.
Hello, Spot Virgins. Jargon Klopp here. This week's spotting jargon is offside rule.
Oh no. Well, obviously I know what this is, but you're going to
Do you know what it is? You can't explain the offside rule.
I know what the offside rule is.
You know there is a rule called the offside rule. You don't know when it's implemented.
You're going to try and make us explain it, Dylan? Is that what you're going to try and do?
Well, this is the meatiest of meatiest topics, isn't it? Come on then, Amy, give it a bash.
I can have a bash. Right. The offside rule is when a striker is going for the goal, a defender... You can't have a...
You're already...
I've not finished, Matt. A defender... a defender has to be a certain distance behind or in... Or not behind or close by. Oh, it's a stupid rule, something like that. It's about a defender and being within a remit of the striker, right?
I think I've got a better stab at this, if I'm honest. Yeah. It's about a defender being between the goal and the striker. Like the striker can't go if everyone is behind him, then you're offside, basically. That's right, isn't it?
Ish. Yeah, so the striker has to have a defender in between him and the goal when his teammate passes him the ball.
So I'm thinking, okay, so when a striker suddenly does a big run and is like going down the pitch and it's like, oh my God, he's going to score a goal. So where does the defender have to be then?
No, if he's got the ball and he's gone past the last defender, so he's now in between him and the goal, there's no defender.
But when it's passed to him.
Yeah, when it's passed to him.
But then he can leg it with the ball and he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few anomalies to this. You can't be offside in your own half.
If, like, in theory, everyone's up by your goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can stand in by the halfway line, but just inside your own half, and you're not offside. If you're the other side of the line, then you would be offside.
Why is it? Because the rule of there has to be someone in between you and the goal when the ball gets past you sounds fairly simple. Why is it so controversial?
I guess it's so controversial because, you know, the strikers will try to push the boundaries as much as possible, will try to be, you know, onside, but as close to the last defender as possible so that he can get to the ball before him, kind of thing.
Okay.
And
it's like my brain's just switched off. I'm trying to listen, but like, it's just, if you play football, I imagine it's quite straightforward. I think when you don't play football and you're trying to dissect something like this, it's like, what?
Is it a common thing to happen in football matches that someone gets called for being offside?
Yeah, it's very often, yeah.
Okay.
The challenge these days is that it's been amplified and it's very topical because of VAR. People could be even, like even was onside. So if you're level, you were deemed to be onside. But now with technology, the fact that you can freeze frame, zoom in, you know, a magnifying glass to like each millimeter, there's no real such thing as even anymore. Because even if someone's 1 millimeter ahead of the other one, the technology can actually point that out now. So it's a bit more black and white than just like even.
Do you know what's so funny is while you were talking then, there were two squirrels in my garden. I just realized I've just switched off and was just watching those. I just can't get my head around. I'm like, oh, squirrels. That's how my brain works.
Was he offside?
I think he might have been, yeah. Oh, dear.
Well, so the problem is this why VAR is controversial? Because it's sort of taken any subjectivity or fairness out of football because, like, you're like, they're basically even, but, like, a millimetre will now determine it.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at things like tennis, you know, when the ball hits the line or just outside the line, and nobody really knows, but the judge will say whether it's in or out, but the player can challenge that. So if he challenges it, they get Hawkeye out and they zoom in literally to the millimeter. And if the ball is 1 millimeter over the line, then it's out. But that's seen as a good thing for tennis. You know, it adds to the entertainment.
People love it when that comes out, don't they?
They clap and everything, yeah.
Yeah. But also, aren't they only allowed, maybe, could it be in football like that? Because tennis, you're only allowed to use it a certain number of times, aren't you, as a player?
That's right, yeah.
So could it not be the same in is it like two or three a match they're allowed?
Set. Yeah, so maybe they'll bring that into football in future, who knows? But I think the point is that the game is not flowing anymore. There's too many stoppages. At least you now know the offside rule, right? Correct?
I don't know if I'll ever... It's like now I could...
Just repeat it back, Amy.
The offside rule is when a striker is going for the goal and a defender has to have been... No, another member of the team has to be nearby when it's been passed to him. What a stupid rot that I don't know. Is that right?
Way off.
No.
Way off.
I'm now glad that, like, because when you say to people, like, because I publicly don't like football. Like, I'm quite vocal about being like, it's not for me. And loads of times in the pub, like, some smarmy idiot will always go, oh, can you tell me the offside rule? Like that. And now I can go, yeah, I can actually. When a striker is past the ball, there has to be a defender between him and the goal, unless he's in his own half. So why don't you shut up and buy me a drink? That's what I'm going to do now. Okay, I'm really smug that you've taught it to me, Dylan. Thank you.
So, Amy, can you now see why our good friend Jürgen Klopp gets so annoyed recently?
Yeah, there's
about
a lot.
Offside rule.
I don't know. It's just a lot going on, isn't there, during football? There's a lot of things to dispute and very busy. I can see why he gets so stressed. Bless him.
Okay, so thanks, Jürgen, for that. Time for Quiz Agabusi. So the scores from last week are 46-41 to Amy. So
just
a five-shot lead.
Yeah, that's not good for me.
You did say before we started this podcast, Matt, that this is your week. You're feeling confident, so...
Yeah, but you know what? Like,
I think you're trying to out-psych me.
Maybe I had my moment with the offside rule today. That's what I felt, not the quiz.
If it makes you feel any better, I feel like you've already won this episode with that, so...
Well, that's great, and I think that's an extra 5 points for me, then.
Matt, you knew an awful lot about the winter sports as well, so I think you've peaked.
So I love the Winter Olympics. They are my favourite of the Olympics. It goes Winter Olympics, Paralympics, and then the normal Olympics for me.
Okay.
Like, I'm a big fan of the spin-offs.
Classic. So we're gonna kick off the quiz with the real Olympics.
Okay.
True or false? At the Paris Olympics in the 1900, tug of war was one of the sports. True or false, Matt?
True.
Amy?
I'm going with true just because I want it to be.
The answer is true. Yes. Alongside polo, croquet and cricket.
See, all this controversy about, you know, fancy sports going in now like breakdancing and loads of ridiculous things have been in the Olympics.
Exactly. So
tug of war is tough though. I mean, you've really got to be, you know, that is a real team effort. So why? I suppose there's just not much else. You've kind of got your one tug and then you turn, aren't you?
Amy.
Classic me.
Set myself right up.
Have you done much tug of war, Amy, in your time?
All right, Dylan, personal question. I have taken part in a tug of war, yeah. And weirdly found it mega competitive. But like, you don't know how much you're actually contributing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Adding value.
I'm like, am I doing anything here? So, yeah.
Okay, so question number two. Name three ways that you can win a boxing fight. So there's three like classifications of how you can win. And I'm not talking about like, oh, you can do punch him in the ribs. You can punch him in the nose.
Oh, okay.
I think we'll let Amy go first. I think Matt's got a bit more boxing.
Okay, knockout?
Correct.
Points?
Correct.
And I've put ref's decision, like if he deems the like one of them to be injured.
Nah, we might give that one depending on what matters.
No, but that has happened. That happened with a gate of fight that I saw. It was a big fight, and it was someone's eye was cut.
I mean, you sound like you're lying.
So I am not. And the boxer's eye was cut really badly. It was a recent one. It was a big one. Yeah, I'll only have. Who am I talking about?
The one guy was called Dubois, I think his name is, and Joyce is the other guy. This had happened, but there is a technical term for it. Matt, let's see what you got.
I've got knockout, points, yeah. And I've also said a draw, because then you've technically both won, haven't you?
Oh, okay.
So they're the three I've gone for. Yeah.
So the other two, which I was thinking of, was disqualification is one. So something like a low blow, me disqualification.
Yeah.
Okay. Or biting someone's ear off.
That'll do it.
Frowned upon. The other one is TKO, technical knockout, which is kind of like when, you know, the doctor steps in and says he's had enough, or your corner says he's had enough, or the ref kind of says, actually,
yeah, I mean,
that's kind of what I meant as well. And wasn't there? I tell you I saw as well. I've got another example for you. The boxer's corner threw in the towel. They actually threw in the towel. Oh, that's one.
Yeah.
Like physically threw in the towel.
Physically, they throw the towel in the middle of the ring.
You do that, yeah. We'll come back to that one.
Okay.
We'll
argue at the end.
We're on to question number three. Who plays at the Emirates Stadium? Answers, please.
Arsenal.
Correct.
I can see it from where I live. I can see it from my road.
Right.
That's the only reason I know what it is, because everyone goes, oh, there's the Emirates.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there are no planes that in London, actually, but I can tell you all about planes.
Oh, yeah, forget about that, Matt. That is your big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, fuck sports. It's all about the planes.
Question number four. Whose nickname is Beefy?
Mate, I thought we were never going to tell her we call her that.
Matt, do you want to go first on this one?
Is it Ian Botham?
Amy, do you want to guess?
Yeah, Ian Botham. Again, The Office, I think, helped me with this.
Really? With this it's Sir Ian Botham, actually.
Oh, so is that no point then?
Sir Ian, no, you do.
I reckon he must make him get people go, call me Sir Beefy.
Yeah, well, Sir Beefy.
Why is he called Beefy, actually? He's not that stocky, is he?
He was quite stocky. Yeah, he was quite stocky. He's quite well known for having a few pints before a match.
Oh, and he's got a big old tash, beefy old tash, isn't he? Well, I don't know if he's got rid of it now, I think, isn't he?
Do you know what Ian Botham has done since giving up cricket? Like, other than,
loads,
you know,
and loads of charity work.
Yeah, walking specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of walking, like sponsored walks.
Yeah, he has taken sponsored walks to a new level.
Where's he gone?
Oh, everywhere. I reckon he's walked every single blade of grass in the UK.
What a stupid question. Where's he gone? You know what? All of that, like, he's done so many of them, they've given him a knighthood, and Amy has just pulled it apart with one sentence.
Interested. Where, if he's showing off about
sponsored walks. Where you gone, mate? Absolutely brutal.
Like Wall of China, or like across the desert. I don't know. Like,
I don't know if he's done
Sheffield to Manchester. I don't know. Anyway,
just round in circles. Well, you don't even have to go anywhere. Look at that, Sir Tom, just up and down in his garden.
Yeah. Oh, good lord.
Okay, so well done, both of you. Question number five: what club did Jamie Carragher play for?
I've gone for, just because it's the only one that ever gets mentioned, I've gone for Leicester.
Okay. Amy?
Good old Leicester. This time I'm going for Liverpool.
Amy is correct.
Damn!
He is a Scouser. Question number six. What sport is played at the Rod Laver Arena?
Indoors or outdoors? Indoors. Okay.
I'll give you a clue. It's in Australia.
Oh, for God's sake, Australia.
Ice hockey?
Matt, yeah, Australia's well known for their ice hockey.
I don't know. Like, yeah, but you say that. We do sports that you wouldn't expect. You know, we're good at bobsleigh, so.
I've gone for Australian rules football.
Oh, you're very close there, but it's not correct.
Ah!
The Aussie Rules Stadium is literally next door to this, but it's tennis.
Okay.
It's where the Australian Open is played.
The only reason I know about Australian rules football is there is a big Australian rules footballer called Matthew Richardson. And he's retired now. He's a commentator now. He's a big commentator over there. But I always, when he was playing, used to get like quite aggressive messages meant for him on Twitter. Like if he'd had a bad, I'd be like, well, someone's had a bad game, clearly, because I'm getting loads of shit.
Yeah, it's a good sport to watch that, actually. I went to see a few couple of matches there.
What's the difference between that and normal football?
Oh, it's very different. It's kind of like, it's the shape of the ball is more like a rugby ball. It's like a smaller rugby ball.
Yeah.
They run with the ball in their hands and they have to bounce it and they kick it to each other. It's completely different.
Okay, fine.
To normal football.
Different enough that Amy and I would go to a game and notice the differences.
Yes, you would do.
Just about.
It's on a circular pitch to begin with.
Oh, wow, lovely.
Yeah, like a cricket pitch. Question number 7. What country is Thierry Henry from? I think you both know that. I think the fact that he says va-va-voom a lot maybe gives it away.
Oh, yeah.
And does the ads for Renault. Matt?
He's French.
Amy?
Yes, French.
Correct. Nice and easy one. He is from France, of course. Also known as Terry Henry.
Tezza.
Question number 8. How many teams are there in the Premier League? Amy?
18?
Matt?
21?
You're so close. It's 20.
Oh!
Yeah.
Balls. Damn.
20 teams, unfortunately.
I nearly put 20 as well. That's so
annoying. I went for such an odd number. Like, I feel like it's just something they do. They do a weird, obscure number as
absolutely
opposed to an obvious
would.
20. Yeah.
Okay, similar theme for the next question. How many jumps are there in the Grand National? I think we should give you a point in this one if you're within 2. Matt?
27.
Amy?
Ooh, I've gone 14. It's a wild guess, so.
It's 30.
Whoa!
Oh, so I'm not even within 2. Oh, that's so annoying.
Oh my God. 30. Yeah.
So I think there's, let me see if I can get this right. There's 14 fences, but they do 2 laps. But then
So do I get a point for that?
Nah.
No, please. I can't have that.
Yeah. Okay, so on to the last question. Who is Dennis Bergkamp? A broad answer of sports person will not do.
Okay.
A tad more specific. Amy.
He's a former footballer.
Anything more specific?
No, he's a manager.
Okay, Matt.
He used to play for Arsenal, right?
I've gone for my classic answer of commentator.
I think we have to give the point to Amy there because he is a former footballer. And he did play for Arsenal, and he probably has done some commentary in some shape or form, but.
I mean, like, yeah, Mike.
What does he do now? Then what answer were you looking for? Is he a manager? I guess.
No, manager. I think ex footballer played for Arsenal.
But what does he do now?
I don't know. He probably is a coach or a manager, but he's not like in the Premier League or anything.
So I got that spot on, basically.
Yeah, you did basically. Yeah, that's annoying.
Dylan, you're acting like I just scraped it, but surely that's the perfect answer.
No. Well done. I'm impressed that you knew he played for Arsenal. So do you know what country he came from?
Denmark.
Matt, you want a bonus point if you can tell this?
What's his name again? Tell me.
Dennis Bergkamp.
Bergkamp. I think he's Swedish.
Nah, he does look a bit Swedish. He's Dutch.
Yeah.
The other thing he's well known for, he's scared of flying. Whenever they played internationals or played an away game in Europe, he would have to travel by other means.
Oh, that God, bad
what
that he
a
couldn't
shame.
Even travel.
Because he could have afforded a private jet as well, so he couldn't have even done that.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
There is a band that this isn't even connected, but there's a band I'm into and the drummer doesn't fly. Like, so whenever they tour in Europe, they have to do like a massive tour and he gets a cruise here.
Whoa.
Wow.
But he was in a plane crash and survived, like a private jet he was in crash. And after that, he went, that's me done.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, he nearly, like he.
I think that would probably do me
like,
too.
4 people died in this crash and he was one of 2 survivors.
What? Is that Travis Barker?
It's Travis Barker from Blink-182. Yeah, he doesn't fly.
Yeah, that was a horrendous plane crash he was in.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good band though, Blink-182, isn't it?
They're one of my favourites. Don't you worry, like I'm big into Blink.
Yeah, I saw them live in Las Vegas once.
Did you? What, when they did their residency?
No, it was a corporate gig. I was playing Tempin Bowling whilst drinking champagne about 20 yards away from Blink-182 playing live on stage to a massive crowd.
What corporate gig was this and where can I get booked? It sounds amazing.
Yeah, Sports Virgin? Can you organise the Sports Virgin's Christmas party, Dylan?
This was back in the Spotify glory days.
Wow. Oh,
of jollies.
And now you're sat here with us.
Back to the quiz. Amy is pulling away. So
I got six then, right?
Yeah, the scores in this round is 6-4 to Amy, which takes it to 52-45. So, Amy, you're the first to cross the 50-point barrier. So, congratulations, Amy. You are.
Thank you very much. I don't want to revel in the glory too much. Look, you got the offside rule, okay? So, we've all got something this episode. I can't use my points knowledge anywhere, can I? I can't turn up into a pub when everyone's watching football going, oh, guess what? I won the Sports Virgins quiz. They'll go, what's the offside rule? I still don't know, so I've got nothing. Worthless to me. I feel a bit gutted feeling that, actually, that I'm always on a bit of a high when I win the quiz every week, Matt. But now I'm like, what can I do with it? Whereas you've actually got some tangible knowledge, which I still can't get my head around. That's frustrating for me.
Look, don't start pulling at the thread of what does this actually mean for me when it comes to talking about your own podcast. That does not end
well. What is my life?
What does any of this mean?
See, I see your tactics here, Matt. You're only worried about impressing people in the pub with good stories, whereas Amy's just like, no, I'm competitive. I want to win the quiz.
Exactly.
Now I'm really realizing what's it for, guys.
Look, I think I'm nurturing my knowledge through this podcast, whereas Amy is just a swap with the, you know, the test scores.
Well, I've got to have something, haven't I?
No transferable skill, Amy. Come on.
Absolutely. One day I will find one. I will find one. I still haven't worked out where Beefy's walked. That's my quest for this week.
Amy, how about this? Why don't you take the dog on a Beefy walk this week rather than you?
Oh, that sounds lovely. Maybe Ian will join me. That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Probably will, with his little form asking for a pound.
Oh dear. So that's my task for the week sorted. Thank you once again, Dylan, for enriching our lives and informing us. Not that much of it went in for me. And Matt, go and show off with your offside rule.
Well, I can't because we're going into tier three.
Oh, you can't even go to the pub in your face.
Thank you for listening to Sports Virgins, a Pomodo production. Please follow us and like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can follow us on your social media platform of choice. We are at Sports Virgins. Follow us, tell us some sports facts, or more preferably, tell us that you know less than us.
That would help, or any kind of sporting stupidity, please.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.